Great to see all of you. Especially want to welcome you if you come here for the first time. Weren't we blessed by the worship this morning? Isn't that great this morning? Yeah, let's give a hand to the worship team. And just the awesome testimonies of, you know, how our great God and how he is able to answer our prayers. This morning, I wanted to share with you from 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And I want to talk about how when we go through tough situations, that through fervent prayer to our great God, Jehovah God, that we can be able to rise above our tough situations. And so I'd like to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for the testimonies and for the worship this morning. And you're a good, good Father, and we want to praise you that your steadfast love is always with us and that you meet us, especially when we go through tough times. And so this morning I just pray that you speak to us through 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, and Lord, that we can just be a prayer warrior like Hannah, Lord. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, my sermon's entitled, We Can Rise Above Our Tough Situations and Change Things Through Fervent Prayer. Amen. Now, this morning, I wanted to just ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a really tough situation that you felt like you had no control over? It could be a family crisis. It could be a sickness. It could be financial troubles, or it could be just something unexpected that happened. And so today I wanted to share with you how we can be able to rise above our tough situations through trusting in the Lord and prayer. And I'd like to speak this morning from the story of Hannah. And I really am inspired by this woman in the Old Testament. I'd like to speak often on some of these women disciples of Christ in the Old Testament and the New Testament because they're excellent examples. And we're going to see and look at the life of Hannah. She's just an ordinary person, but God used her to do extraordinary things. And she was able to change not only her tough situation, but also change the world. And so this morning, I hope you can see that when we go through trials and we go through tough times, it's an opportunity to experience God. You know, during the last 10 years, as I've been going through different situations in my life, whenever a tough trial happens, I've learned to see it as an opportunity. You know, opportunity to experience God in a new way and experience answered prayers and to also experience a new attribute of God that I've never experienced before. And so that's what I wanted to share with you about today. And Jehovah God answered Hannah's fervent prayers for a situation that she was facing, and that was a tough situation. So we're going to be reading about it, and I'd like for you to read this passage with me in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 18 from the NIV. Should we just read this together? There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came from Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? And once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And as she was praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Finally, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked the Lord for him. Now, I want to give you a little context about what was going on at this time. And you can see the role that Hannah played in a very important way. This was the time of the judges. And the condition during the times of the judges was everyone was doing what was right in his or her own eyes. It was morally and spiritually chaotic. But then here comes this woman, and God uses this godly woman to make a very dramatic change. So, you know, God loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And oftentimes it's during a crisis or during a time of trouble. And so there's several things that Hannah faced, and these were some very difficult problems in her family. Now, for one thing, she married a husband who's not very sensitive or perceptive. I would paraphrase it as he's kind of clueless. Okay, back then, you know, when you're married, it probably was an arranged marriage. We don't know what was the specific situation, but she was married to Elkanah, and Hannah was barren. And in those days, you know, if you were barren, that was a very shameful thing, because a wife was supposed to, of course, cook, take care of the home, but also very important is to give birth to a male heir that's going to continue the family line. And so with that situation, some of the commentators in the commentary said that he probably married a second time another wife so he can produce a child, okay? So who is this other wife? Other wife was called Peninnah. Okay, now Peninnah was a really terrible woman. I mean, she belittled Hannah daily for not being able to bear children. And I was listening to one of the great sermons online on YouTube. And it could be a situation like this, you know, like here when Hannah comes in and Elkanah's there, and then Peninnah would just show off her child, show off her boy, and just feed her and say, oh, yeah, my boy is so handsome. I wish that you could have the same situation as I do, and just kind of rub it in every day, you know. And that's the type of situation that Hannah faced, that every day, here's this woman, her rival, kept irritating her and belittling her. I mean, can you feel for Hannah at this time? I mean, that's a really bad situation. And then, you know, she faced the shame of being barren. So I really like the story because it talks about some real tough situations that godly people face, and Hannah faced them. There are some serious issues in her relationships, and there's some serious doubts and maybe uncertainty or feeling of hopelessness. But you know, our Lord shows grace to those who need it the most. And in fact, Hannah's name means grace. You know, there's a scripture that says the Lord gives grace to the humble. And he answers for those people who seek his face. So Hannah's name is called Grace, but the rival, Peninnah's name, means pearl or beauty. Now, which name would you prefer? I always prefer grace more than pearls, okay? Because God gives grace to the humble. So today I wanted to share with you about how did Hannah, being in such a terrible situation day by day, how did she handle this tough situation? Well, I wanted to share with you three things that she did. Number one, she poured out her soul to the Lord to ask for his help. You know, that's the first thing she did. She did not, like, try to comfort herself, or she didn't become depressed, or she didn't let the situation get a hold of her, but she poured out her soul to the Lord. And then also, the second thing she did was she acknowledged the Lord's attributes and asked for a son. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But then the third thing that she did was she dedicated her son to the Lord and responded in magnificent praise. And these are the three things that she did. And we'll see that God was able to change the world through her prayers. Okay? And so if we're going through a tough situation at home or at work or in our relationships, we can turn to the Lord for his sovereign help and provision. And what was really interesting to me was, did you know that Hannah was the first godly servant in the Old Testament to address the Lord as the Lord of hosts? Now, I don't like the NIV translation. It said Lord Almighty. But actually, it should be Yahweh Sabaoth. And that means the Lord of armies. You know, the Lord of armies. It's not Almighty God. It's the Lord of the commander of all the heavenly armies. So this is a spiritual warfare, my friends. She was just saying, Lord, you're the commander of the heavenly armies. You fight for me. And then, so this is her prayer. Let's read this prayer. I really like how the New Living Translation translates it. I think it captures the essence much more than the NIV. Can we just read this together? It says, O Lord of heavenly armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. And so she had so much faith. And so what she did was to make what's called a Nazirite vow. She dedicated her son to serve the Lord his entire life. And what's a Nazirite? A Nazirite at that time was a man or a woman who sets him or herself apart to serve the Lord. It could be for just a short period of time or for life. But what Hannah did was she dedicated her son to serve him for life. And in the Bible, there are three people who are Nazirites. One was Samson, you know, the mighty warrior. He had Samuel the prophet, the John the Baptist, the one who was a pre-runner to Christ. And Nazirites, they couldn't drink any intoxicating drink. They couldn't touch or be near any dead bodies. And they grew their hair really long. Okay? And so that, so they did that so you can tell, here's a man or here's a woman who's dedicated her life to the Lord. All right? I wish I could be a Nazirite. But anyway, we too are dedicated in some way like the Nazirites too. We're set apart for God. Okay? And then notice what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says about us as believers in Christ. Let's read this together in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And we're reading from Romans 12, 1 to 2. From the New American Standard. And, you know, what's really amazing is when we seek the Lord for his help, you know, when we're in need or there's a situation at church or there's a situation in our lives that we need God's provision, he answers. He answers. So I'd like to have some testimonies, people to give some testimonies right now. I'm going to call Brother Andrew to come up. And he's going to share about how God provided in a miraculous way to pay off this whole hope building. Okay, so let's welcome Brother Andrew.
Thank you. Thank you. The power, the power of fervent prayer, how God helped us to pay off this building in 3 years. Anyway, a vision was given to the church leaders that we should purchase a second building. About 3 years ago, this building was available on the market for $1.8 million. Even with the steep amount, the church leaders knew that we need to follow God's vision, even though it seemed impossible to pay it off. The church leaders prayed, fasted, and passed, and passed it on to the church to pray for divine guidance and faith. When this building was finally ready for sale, there were a couple of offers on the table, and one of the bidders was a cash buyer. But however, God opened the door for the first step in purchasing the Hope Building. He touched one of the church members to purchase the building. The church member requested that the loan to be paid off in 3 years. Again, God opened the door once again for the second step. In the last 2 weeks before the loan was due, we were able to raise $1.2 million, but it was not enough to pay it off. The church continued to pray fervently, and God opened the door again for the third step. With God's miracle, about an hour before the loan was due, we were able to raise the full amount of the loan and even raise funds to renovate the sanctuary. So you can see the last year, 12 months, we already knocked down two walls for future expansion. So we just can see how God been working through this ministry. So God just wants us to pray fervently and just keep our faith strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Andrew. He's a faithful member of the building committee. And did you notice that when we knocked down that wall over there recently, we could seat 30 more people? Isn't that great? Yeah, that's great. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's how God works. And what was really interesting is what God did in the physical, he was doing also in the spiritual. Like as he's expanding the sanctuary, he's also expanding the English ministry. And I'd like to ask if there's any zone supervisors here or any fellowship leaders, could you just stand up? Or worship team leaders, you know, if you happen to be serving in the worship team. Can you all stand up? Okay, zone supervisors, fellowship leaders. Okay, all right. Okay, just have it. Okay, and if you're also a fellowship leader, in like you're part of the core team in the fellowship, just stand up. Okay, let's give a hand to our brothers and sisters here. You know, God has been so good. You know, like I've seen this past year, it's just tremendous work of the Holy Spirit in raising up leaders and making us more effective and efficient and just growing us spiritually and, you know, expanding the English ministry. And then thirdly, God enabled VOH to play a very key role within the Vineyard Association of Churches. I believe later on this year, we'll be hosting a regional conference here, you know, VOH. And that means all the other area churches are going to be coming over here. And we've been having great interactions and partnership and fellowship with all the area pastors in the surrounding churches like Pomona and other areas. It's been so wonderful. So, you know, God is really doing a great work of expansion. And that's in answer to the fervent prayers of our brothers and sisters. And I just want you to see that here we see an example of God's answered prayer. Amen? Isn't that great? And so I remember we were in a tough situation in our church, like financially, or, you know, there's times when we really needed people to step up to lead. But when we fervently pray together, then God answered. God answered. And that's the way that he works. And also, I just wanted to share that the second lesson we can learn from Hannah is that we can dedicate ourselves and our family members to serve the Lord faithfully. Now, notice what Hannah did. First, she acknowledged herself as the Lord's maidservant, and then she dedicated her son, Samuel, to serve the Lord as a Nazirite. So, but she acknowledged herself, I am the maidservant of the Lord, and if you will give me a son, I will dedicate him to serve you for the rest of his life. Now, you may not know this, but in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, not only did God bring Samuel as a son to Hannah, but she had other sons and daughters as well. Okay, so God really raised her head, all right, and she became a very godly mother. Now, I want to say that the Lord always intends not only as us as individuals to be saved, but he intends our family members to be saved. You know, sometimes living in the U.S., we tend to think individually in terms of just things affecting us individually. But in the Bible, God talks about our families. You know, it's not just us as individuals, but we're part of a family. And so when the blessing comes to us, it also comes to our family members. And he intends all our family members and whole families to be saved and to be blessed. And so notice this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Let's read this together. It says, repent and each one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children. I thought that was really interesting. It said, and your children. Now, sometimes we might face tough situation at home, and we don't know what to do. And it could be a similar situation like what Hannah faced. And I faced that with my brother TJ. Now, I may have shared this with you before, but this really resonated in my mind because God really pulled through for me. When I was praying for my brother TJ. Now, you have to remember that I and my brothers, we were Jehovah's Witnesses for over 10 years. And then I came out. Okay, I was the first one to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, in 1985. But my brothers, they still stayed in Jehovah's Witnesses for a long time. And my second brother, TJ, he didn't want anything to do with religion. Okay, he said, no, I'm sick of all this formal religious stuff. I just want to make money. Okay, and he went out to the working world. He made some money. But then during the course of time, he faced some hardships. He became very depressed at one time. And also he suffered some, a moment of depression, and he couldn't get out of it. And so I remember one time I had to call 911 when I was in Davis with my brother there, and he was in a very bad mental state, and the 911 had to come and carry him to the hospital. I think that was probably the lowest point in my life, because here's my brother that I love very much, and seeing him so weak and just so fragile, it really broke my heart at that time. And then we prayed for him. And, you know, it took months. It wasn't instantaneous, but God began to work. God began to work. First of all, you know, he became saved. Okay, he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And he was really depressed because he didn't know, like, what he was going to be useful at. But then God opened the door for him, and he met some Christians that really nurtured him and discipled him, okay? And an opportunity came for him to go to Taiwan. So when he went to Taiwan, he met his wife, his future wife. And his future wife, Angela, is a very faithful Christian. Okay, and she's a very charismatic leader. So he hooked up in the church in Nantou in Taiwan. And then that church was involved in helping out the Aborigine youth. You know, there's many Aborigines in Taiwan. So the church was involved in setting up meetings and also just helping to evangelize to the Aborigine youth. So he began to do that. And then later, God opened the door for him to go to Jerusalem. He felt a real strong need that in the last days, we need to pray for Jerusalem. So he started to lead teams of people to go to Jerusalem to pray for Jerusalem. He got to know Jerusalem really well and I'm so envious of him because I always wanted to go to Jerusalem, but I haven't. But, you know, now he feels really fulfilled. God completely turned his life 180 degrees. He found a purpose in life. He felt the love of the Lord, the love of a wife, and he's able to make an impact for the kingdom. And you know, it took about 10 years for this to happen, but it was all because of answered prayer. So I just wanted to share with you that when you're going through tough times, you know, I'm a witness that when you pray and fervently pray to the Lord of the heavenly armies, he's going to fight for you. Amen? He's going to fight for you, and he's going to provide for you. He's going to heal your family members. He's going to provide in a way that you never experienced before, and you just need to put your mustard seed-like faith, and he's going to move the mountains. So I just want to tell you that because I've experienced it in real life, and that's exactly what Hannah did. Okay, Hannah did that. This is what she continued to pray for Samuel. He said, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I've also dedicated him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he's dedicated to the Lord." That's from 1 Samuel 1:27. And here's the good news, my friends, is that God answered Hannah's fervent prayers in an extraordinary way. I mean, not only did Jehovah God give her a son, but what kind of son was he? He was the prophet Samuel. And the prophet Samuel was one of the key leaders to make the transition of Israel from the chaos of the judges to the stability of the kings. Okay, so everybody was doing what was right in his own eyes, but God had a plan to bring the King David to the throne. All right, and so Samuel, he happened to be a mentor for Saul, but you know, Saul later disobeyed God, so God replaced him with David, and David was the anointed one. He was the godly line from whom Jesus would come. So literally, God was changing the world through answering Hannah's prayers. And not just changing her troublesome situation, but changing all of Israel. So if you look at the big picture, my friends, God may not be only changing your situation, but changing your family, changing your neighborhood. Just like Pastor Glenn was saying, you know, he's reaching out to his neighbors or changing your city. So you have to have that big vision. God has a big vision for you, my friends. You know, he wants to use you to bless other people. And so God does things in extraordinary ways. And the third thing that I really appreciate Hannah about was she was a woman who was a worshiper. She gave extraordinary praise to God. And she had so much deep insights about the Lord. Like, she's the first person who recognized Jesus, that the Lord was Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies. How did she know that? She didn't go to seminary school. She didn't have a Bible teacher. But it was through fervent prayer for hours and hours, experiencing the Lord, experiencing answered prayer, experiencing the presence of God. And then she began to realize, he's the Lord of the heavenly armies who keeps fighting for me. And her prayer is one of the greatest prayers in the Old Testament. And I'd like for us to read this prayer out loud together, if we can. Let's read this together. Hannah's prayer of praise. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills, makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. From the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And what was amazing is the last sentence. He will give strength to the king and exalt the horn of the anointed. And isn't it fitting that Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one, Mary, with her song of praise in Luke chapter 2, 1 to 10, the Magnificat, it is very similar to Hannah's praise. And I'm sure that Mary probably was very inspired by Hannah's praise. So Hannah is a great prayer warrior. And she lived in a very troublesome situation, but she rose above her troubles because she relied on the Lord through fervent prayer. And she gained great insights of the Lord. She great insights about the Lord being the Lord of heavenly armies, the Lord who fights for her, the Lord who provides, the Lord who's compassionate, the Lord who heals. And her magnificent prayers have inspired so many believers throughout the centuries. I mean, we don't hear anything about Peninnah, but we hear a lot about Hannah because she's a great prayer warrior, a great woman of faith. And later on, maybe you can take a look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55, and you read that and compare with that of Hannah. And lastly, she changed the world because God answered her prayers in a mighty fashion. Samuel led the way to steer Israel out of spiritual chaos and bring God's anointed, King David, to the throne. And later, through King David, the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish his kingdom forever. So my friends, what can we take away from this passage this morning? And so I'd like to challenge you this morning. Do you want to experience God in a deeper way and to hear from God? And I'm sure all of us do. Be a man or woman of prayer. Spend time to read the word and to pray and to fervently pray. And that's what Hannah did. And she experienced the Lord in a way. She experienced him firsthand, got to know his attributes, and became so close, and great spiritual insights were given to her because she spent time alone with God. Also, do you need God's help to deal with some difficult family issues? There might be some situations that you're dealing with in your family that it's hard for you to talk about. It could be with you, your siblings, your parents, or your cousins, or with some distressful situation, but God knows what he is, and he's the Lord of heavenly armies, isn't he? He's going to fight for you. He has all power and wisdom. When you rely upon him, he can handle the situation, and that's what he did for Hannah. And are you willing to be a prayer warrior? My friends, I believe this morning some of you might be convicted by this message, and that all you need to say is, yes, Lord, I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for my city. I want to pray for my neighbors. I want to pray for my classmates. I want to pray for my professors. God is going to use you, my friends. And also, lastly, there might be some of you today, God is leading you to dedicate yourself to serve the Lord. Just like Hannah dedicate herself to pray and dedicate her son to the Lord, as some of you might want to dedicate yourself to the Lord. Can we just all stand up at this time? I'd like to ask the worship team to come up and lead us in the closing songs. I also like to ask the prayer intercessors to come up at this time. And as a worship team is singing this song, I'm just wondering if any of you feel convicted by this message this morning and you want to dedicate yourself to the Lord or to a life of prayer, you can just feel free to come on up to the front and we can be praying for you. Okay? All right, let's worship God.